Chapter 18. The estimated flying time to Atlantic City was 85 minutes in the Bonanza, which was exactly 35 minutes faster than the Cessna Ray had been renting. Early Saturday morning, he and Fogg did a thorough pre-flight, under the intrusive and often obnoxious supervision of Dick Docker and Charlie Yates, who walked around the Bonanza with their tall styrofoam cups of bad coffee, as if they were flying instead of just watching. They had no students that morning, but the gossip around the airport was that Ray was buying the Bonanza, and they had to see things for themselves. Hangar gossip was as reliable as coffee shop rumors. "How much does he want now?" Docker asked in the general direction of Fogg Newton, who was crouched under a wing draining a fuel sump, checking for water and dirt in the tanks. "He's down to 410, Fogg said with an air of importance, because he was in charge of this flight, not them.
"Still too high," Yates said.
"You gonna make an offer?" Docker said to Ray.
"Mind your own business," Ray shot back without looking. He was checking the engine oil.
"This is our business," Yates said, and they all laughed.
In spite of the unsolicited help, the pre-flight was completed without a problem. Fogg climbed in first and buckled himself into the left seat. Ray followed in the right, and when he pulled the door hard and latched it and put on the headset, he knew he had found the perfect flying machine. The 200-horsepower engine started smoothly. Fogg slowly went through the gauges, instruments, and radios, and when they finished a pre-takeoff checklist, he called the tower. He would get it airborne, then turn it over to Ray. The wind was light and the clouds were high and scattered, almost a perfect day for flying. They lifted off the runway at 70 miles per hour, retracted the landing gear, and climbed 800 feet per minute until they reached their assigned cruising altitude of 6,000 feet. By then, Ray had the controls, and Fogg was explaining the autopilot, the radar weather, the traffic collision avoidance system.
"She's loaded," Fogg said more than once.
Fogg had flown Marine fighters for one career, but for the past 10 years he'd been relegated to the little Cessnas in which he had taught Ray and 1,000 others to fly. A Bonanza was the Porsche of single engines, and Fogg was delighted for the rare chance to fly one. The route assigned by air traffic control took them just south and east of Washington, away from the busy airspace around Dulles and Reagan National. 30 miles away, and more than a mile up, they could see the dome of the Capitol. Then they were over the Chesapeake with the skyline of Baltimore in the distance. The bay was beautiful, but the inside of the airplane was far more interesting. Ray was flying it himself without the help of the autopilot. He maintained a course, kept the assigned altitude, talked to Washington Control, and listened to Fogg chat incessantly about the performance ratings and features of the Bonanza. Both pilots wanted the flight to last for hours, but Atlantic City was soon ahead. Ray descended to 4,000 feet, then to 3,000, and then switched to the approach frequency. With the runway in sight, Fogg took the controls and they glided to a soft touchdown. Taxiing to the general aviation ramp, they passed two rows of small Cessnas, and Ray couldn't help but think that those days were behind him. Pilots were always searching for the next plane, and Ray had found his.